Well, we carry on in our studies in the book of John, and are you finding this a good book?
Love it.
If you don't, just get rid of me, get someone else here, but carry on with the book, all right? Because we need to be studying this. This is a great book. All of God's word is important, and it's all of the same importance, but they're just some books that just speak to our hearts in a way that is sometimes very unexpected. But I pray that the Lord will do his work in us as we do this passage today, or look at this passage rather, and see the response which Jesus was trying to show his disciples to have in the midst of a Samaritan situation, in the midst of a situation they didn't really want to be in at all. They wanted to actually get out as fast as they could. But the Lord showed him God's work has to be done here too. And so let's look at the passage today. And I am in John chapter 4, and we're going to be reading from verse 27 to 42. John chapter 4, verse 27 to 42. And if you haven't been here before, we are in the middle of this conversation where Jesus was having with a woman at the well. But we kind of pick up to the end of that conversation. Verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you talk with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciple said, The disciple said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes a harvest?' Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And what was their testimony? "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Now, before we get into the intricacies of this passage, I want to ask you a crucial question. And the question is this. If you're a believer sitting here before me today, has your life been changed by Jesus? Praise the Lord, Baptists. There are some that are reacting. Have you experienced rebirth if you're not a believer? Have you experienced rebirth? And the answer is, if you're not a believer, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, the answer is no. It's not maybe. There is no maybe. You either have been saved or you haven't been saved. And if you've been saved, are you showing those HBIs? What's that? Your healthy birth indicators. We looked at those last week, didn't you remember? It was dramatic last week. Confession of Christ is one. Are you speaking about Jesus Christ? That's a healthy birth indicator. Are your values being changed? Have your priorities been reset to point to the kingdom and what Jesus wants? And lastly, and we're going to look at this specifically today, do you have a concern for the lost? Is there in you an ache to see others come to Jesus Christ too? Well, the disciples weren't experiencing that at all. In verse 27, we see that they were in Samaria, and the only thing on their minds was getting out of Samaria. In the military, when I was in the military, we learned a little technique. It was called the drop and roll. It was how to get out of a moving vehicle as fast as you could without killing yourself. I see today they've got all woozy with their soldiers. They've got so much equipment on them now. The thing's got to stop. They've got lower ramps. They've got to get out. In our days, they didn't do that. No, I won't go there. The drop and roll. These disciples are on a drop and roll. We've stopped in Samaria. We've got food. We've got water. Jesus, eat up. We're going. And we know why they were doing that. Why? Because they hated being in Samaritan territory. They were unclean people. They would defile them. And so what these disciples did was they failed to see the real people around them. And that's the lesson Jesus wants to teach them. They failed to see people. They had their religious glasses on, and all they saw were unclean people, and they didn't want to get tainted themselves. And so when they saw Jesus talking to this woman, they were mortified. Jesus is breaking all the religious rules. You see, these guys still had their L plates on, remember? They were still learning to be disciples. And here they see Jesus breaking all the religious rules they'd been brought up with from when they were small. But the problem was they hadn't seen the miracle of grace. They hadn't heard the conversation. They hadn't seen a sinner being brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. They hadn't seen a saved sinner who was now going to tell others in a village the good news, which had changed her heart. All they saw was Jesus speaking to this woman. Lord, you're speaking to her alone. She's Samaritan, Lord. And she's a prostitute. You're in a predicament, Lord. We need to get you out of here. But being a disciple of a rabbi, you couldn't express those thoughts. You had to keep them to yourselves, because the rabbi did what the rabbi did. But they were thinking them, and guess who could see? Jesus knew their thoughts. Doesn't state so, but he knew. We've seen it in other passages. He knew what they were thinking. And so when they come to him, they try and cover up this urgency of getting out by saying, Lord, eat. It's the urgency of hunger. We need to get out of this bad situation, Lord. We've got your defiled Gentile food. Just eat and let's get out of here. I might be hammering the point a bit, but are you and I any different? We get so absorbed in our own lives that we don't see real people around us, and we go about our lives. Jesus is addressing that today. And so what he does is, he turns the seemingly urgent into not urgent at all. He turns their priorities towards what is the gospel priority. What are the kingdom priorities? He turns their manufactured emergency into a show of God at work. What does he do? He says to them, I have food to eat. And by saying that, he took the wind right out of their sails. They didn't know what to say to them. And then he explains himself. He says, my food, my real nourishment is in what? Look at the text. It says, in serving God and accomplishing his work. That's my real food. I want to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's my real food. Other food is just by the by. Looking after my needs and my comfort is not the main priority, my disciples, when it comes to serving the kingdom. My food, if Dave could teach you bad French, I'm going to teach you bad French too. All right? My principal motivation. In other words, my main motivation, says Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus is saying to his disciples, if you want to be my disciples, that needs to be your priority too. You need to serve him who sends you. You need to accomplish his work that he gives you. What's Jesus doing here? He's equipping them for the service that will come from them before he sends them out. They're with him. He's showing them what is of first priority and what is secondary. You see, the disciples had this lack of urgency around what really mattered. Their priorities were centered around their own needs, around being religious, around their own reputations. But Jesus was teaching them, these aren't kingdom priorities, my disciples. And they still aren't kingdom priorities today. My own needs, being seen to be religious, my own reputation, those are not kingdom priorities. Jesus has to teach them what they are. What are the kingdom priorities? Well, he mentioned them there. Selfless service of God. Accomplishing God's work. Reaching the people with the good news of the gospel which he brings before us. Those are kingdom priorities. And what's the biggest enemy of that? What was the biggest enemy here to the disciples reaching those goals? Urgency. Urgency. But urgency in the wrong area. They were urgent about all the wrong things. And Jesus is showing them, you can't have a lack of urgency when it comes to kingdom priorities. You see, the attitude towards the kingdom and reaching others with the gospel can often be, she'll be right. There's always tomorrow. I won't see my neighbor today. I'll see them tomorrow. I won't speak to my colleague today. I'll see them next week. I'll find a better opportunity. Putting off. Non-urgent. How does Jesus do this? He does this by taking him back to some of the things they knew well. And one of the things they all knew well was agriculture. Because they all lived in agricultural villages. And they had this saying among the people, there are yet 4 months and then comes a harvest. Well, they were just copying what was happening in nature, right? You sow the seed, you wait, the plants come up, and then you harvest. And so a saying grew around that whole procedure. You see, every village's existence centered around agriculture and the production of wheat for bread. And so all the activities in the village were around the sowing and the reaping, and the in-between bit was less busy for everyone, and that's where life as normal could carry on. It's called, in technical terms, lag time. There was a lag time between sowing and harvesting. In aviation, we used to have a lag time. You put in an action in when you're flying, and then you wait, and then a reaction will happen. There's a lag time. We have the same when things happen in other processes. There's input, we wait, there's output. Well, they were just doing what they usually do. They said, well, the seed has been sown, we now wait, and then the harvest will come. But Jesus said, no, it doesn't work like that in the kingdom. Why doesn't it work like that in the kingdom? Because others have already sown, and now the harvest is happening. And yes, you might be seeing people in front of you, but work has already gone into their lives. Someone else has been sowing in their lives. You might be the one who's going to be reaping. Are you ready to reap? Or you might be the sower, and others are going to reap from your work later. Are you using the opportunities God has put before you to sow the gospel into people's lives? You see, his disciples had this attitude of, she'll be right. They were in Samaritan territory. Who's going to reach the Samaritans? They're lost and helpless. They put people in this religious box of theirs. And these people, all they could see was these people were a threat to their own purity. These people are not as good as we are. And so it's not urgent. We can wait. Don't we have the same attitude towards our own community in Whanganui? I speak to you as someone who's speaking to myself. She'll be right. Things will just carry on as they are. There's always tomorrow. Well, Jesus wants to teach him, no, the time is now. It's now. If you want to reach people, it's now. Jesus brings him into the reality of the here and now. And he says, when it comes to God's kingdom and God's priorities, then God's timeline of salvation is in place. He will save whom he will save, when he will save, but are we ready for when he does save? Are we ready for when he does want to save in the way that he uses us in other people's lives? And so he says to them, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Now remember where they were. They were sitting at Jacob's well. Up the hill from them was the little village of Sychar. And this woman had gone from where she was sitting with Jesus. She had run back to the village. She told them, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come and see him. And so they listened. And there they were coming out of the village. And Jesus sees them coming. Now this is a quick sermon. They're coming down the hill to him. What a sermon illustration. He says, my disciples, look up from your situation. Yes, you're in the middle of Samaria. Yes, you're being defiled by these Samaritans. But just look up. See the harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. And here they approach. See, this woman had gone back. And instead of saying to the village, instead of having the attitude in her head of, what use can I be for Christ? I wonder. And pontificating and trying to internalize and trying to work out how she could best serve. She just went, spoke out what had happened in her life. She told them about Jesus Christ. And then, because she didn't know too much, she said, just come and see him. Come and see him for yourselves. And there they were coming out of the village. She didn't have the necessary training. She didn't have a good track record at all. She just went and told them out of her heart, from a heart filled with wonderment and gratitude to Jesus Christ. She just told them what she knew and invited them to meet with Christ themselves. You see, Jesus says, the time for doing God's will is now. The fields are white unto harvest. And there they were. And the harvest was coming towards them. And here the disciples with Jesus. And when they come to him, there's going to be a great harvest because he stayed among them. And many believed, says our text. And the disciples were with him. And they were participating in this harvest. Had they done anything? Had they sown at all? No, their seed was still in their pockets. They hadn't even opened the packet in case it gets defiled. They kept it to themselves. But here was the harvest coming towards them. He says, are you ready? And that's where this whole imagery happens of the reaper is already receiving his wages while the sower is still sowing. You see, the reaper was there and he was reaping. And once he'd done the reaping, he would get paid for what he'd done. But at the same time, the sower was still sowing seed. And he says, the reaper and the sower are joined together. And what are they doing? They're worshiping God and thanking God for the harvest. Because is it their harvest? The harvest doesn't belong to them. It belongs to someone else. They work together for that whole harvest. And so in the kingdom, Jesus is saying, there's no downtime. There's urgency here. There's bringing people to the gospel. A gospel which can save them. And to see people being saved. Already the sower and the reaper are rejoicing together. The time for doing God's will is today. I hope you got that message already now. I've been really hammering it. Because I know my own heart. I know how non-urgency touches my heart. And I'm the pastor of the church. We see people around us and I think I need to go and speak to that person. And I put it off. I have an opportunity that comes before me and I think, it's not quite right. I haven't got the right stuff here. I'll do it another time. And I forget that God is with me. He's inside me. His Spirit lives in me. And He wants to show people Him. I'm getting in the way. I really need to listen to what He's doing and come and use His opportunities that He brings my way. The other thing that comes up here, and I often speak to the Lord about this, is this one about the sower and the reaper, and the one gets the reward and the other one doesn't. And I've often had the opportunity to speak into people's lives, and then I see them bow the knee to Jesus Christ. I've had this happen on three major instances I can think of. People coming to the Lord right in front of me. I see a soul saved. And what does he do? The Lord takes them out of the church and takes them somewhere else in the country. And then I'm a real grumbly sower. Because I want to see the reaping. But the Lord reminds me, I've got work to do. Sometimes I will sow. Sometimes I will reap. It's not my harvest. It's his harvest. And my friend, there's an appeal here to you and I too. You don't know what that little word that you have to say to someone about what Christ has done to you, you don't know what's going to happen. Yes, revival might break out because of what you've said. Praise the Lord for that. But don't get a big head. It's his work. But that word might sit in their hearts, and 3 years later, they might be doing whatever, and someone else speaks to them, and they're saved. Well, praise the Lord. It's his harvest. It's got nothing to do with us. We sow, we reap. The Lord puts the work in front of us. We just do it. Why? Because we want to see his will done. We want to see his work accomplished. Isn't that what Jesus said? And Whanganui East Baptist Church, that's what we're here for too. We are here to accomplish the work of Jesus Christ. We are here to find his will and to do his will. We won't necessarily see a great harvest, but who knows when that harvest will happen. When Christ returns, the full harvest will come into the storehouses. And you and I would have been part of that. That's all we need to know. It's his harvest. But we need to be doing the work. I just want to go to the last bit, verse 42. When I first read that, I thought, how unkind. Verse 42, look at that. Remember, this woman had been a prostitute. She'd been a downcast in the village. People didn't want to go draw water with her. She had to go on her own in the middle of the day when no other woman would go with her. Now look what they say. She's brought them the living word. She's brought them the message about Jesus Christ. Look at these villagers. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you've said that we believe. We've heard for ourselves. Now we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, I've put the stress on the wrong place. That's not the way they said it. What they were saying here was, yes, we heard your message. And yes, we've come out. But something amazing's happened. It's not because of your word. It's because of him. We now know him. We've seen him. That's why we believe. And that should be the attitude with us too. So what if people miss us and they don't acknowledge what we've said is what kind of drew them to? It's about Christ. If they can see Christ, if they can experience Christ in his fullness, who are we? It's about him. We don't have to get our noses out of joint. Thank you for telling me, Lord. Well, what do we do with this? I want to just quickly give you a few little pointers of application. Let's look at it. How do we do the will of him who sent us and accomplish his will? And it's through serving him. Now, here's a little mantra for you, which is not a Christian thing. Mantra. All right. No time for delay today. Please say after me. No time for delay today. No one got that. Let's do it again. No time for delay today. Today is when the kingdom is being built. Don't delay. What are the essential requirements of service to Christ? Firstly, you need to know him. My friend, if you do not know Jesus, then you're just religious. And it's no use trying to do religious work for Christ. He doesn't see it. No one is saved by that. In actual fact, they turned away from the king. If you want to serve Jesus Christ, you need to know him. You need to seek him. You need to know that he lives in you. In other words, you need a personal acquaintance with Jesus as Savior. Are you saved? And I say this so many times in this church. I don't care how many services you've attended here. Are you saved? Has Jesus saved your life? Is he your Savior? And all the Baptists said, Amen. I hope so. Secondly, if you want to serve Christ, then tell of him. And how do we tell of Jesus Christ? I don't learn a little formula. Little formulas are these frameworks you can use to kind of make sure that you're touching on what you need to touch on when it comes to the gospel message. But firstly, just tell people what Christ has done for you and tell it from your heart. Just tell them. There's nothing like personal experience because there's nothing artificial about that. Speak it. Is your heart overflowing because of what Christ has done, or are you part of the frozen chosen? You see, you and I can be guilty too of this stop, food, water, go mentality. I'm so busy living in my community that I don't have the necessary contact, no real time for real and meaningful interaction with people. Are you still seeing people? Or are you too busy with life? Tell of Christ. It's not just enough to tell of Christ. Invite people to meet Christ. How do you do that? We tell them of the wonder in our lives, and then we bring them to meet Jesus in His Word. And what do we need to do for that? We need to know His Word. We need to know where the passages are that we can speak about Jesus Christ and show them who He really was. We can tell them about the woman at the well. We can tell them about Zechariah. We can tell them about various people in Scripture, but we can bring them to the Scriptures. Let them see Jesus and then pray for them while they're searching for Jesus Christ. There are other ways too. I know Sue's been involved with evangelism on the streets, and they've got charts which you can lead people through so they can see where they are in Christ, outside of Him, inside of Him, and they can see it visually. Invite them to Christ. So the gospel. There's a specific message we've got to bring Him, and it's the gospel message. You can't just tell them anything. It's the gospel which saves. They've got to know about sin. They've got to know where they are because of Adam. They need to know that they're outside of Christ. They need to know that nothing they can do can save them. They need to know that the only way to be saved is to put their faith in Jesus Christ. They need to know that He is Lord of all. They need to know that He's their Creator and that they need to come in under Him. And we've got lots of aids around. These we're giving out for the Filipino outreach service. But if you want one, please grab them. They're at the doors. Use them. Walk through it with people. They're pictures. But speak the gospel message. And then, and here I'm speaking to us as a church, be ready for the harvest. Christ saves who and when He saves. But are we ready as a church for when people come into this place and they've been saved? We teach them, we train them, we put training wheels on. But then we teach them to be independent of us and to rely on Christ Jesus. Not to hold on to us all the time. And then if the Lord does use you to bring the gospel into someone's life and to save them in front of you, my friend, be careful. And I know it's not wheat, it's grain, but don't become popcorn. Don't blow up and think, two people saved. You're probably reaping what another has sown. Scripture shows that often that's the case. Others have spoken, and now at a specific time, someone saved. Just very quickly before I finish, when my friend Gerard, who wasn't a believer, I'd known the family a long time, he wasn't a believer, but when he was dying of cancer, he called me and said to me, "Hey, Calvin, you'd better come tell me what you preach every Sunday." So I went to see him at his house. He's a real thinker. And the passage that got to him was that Jesus left the 99 and went after the one. And he said, "I'm that one. Christ saved me." And the Lord saved him a week before he died. I never saw that. The Lord brought someone else into his hospital room at hospice. And they spoke and prayed with him. And he was converted. Thank you, Nan Glenn. The Lord used Nat. Others had been sowing into his life. The Lord used someone else. The Lord uses us as He pleases. But His is the gospel. His is the harvest. That's what we put out. And then lastly, and I'm speaking to all us Kiwis here, and I include myself now, be urgent about this. The time for gospel renewal is now. Christ is returning tomorrow. Thank you. I was wondering if someone was going to pick up on me. Fantastic. The gospel renewal time is today. Now, Christ could be returning today. So when you get home, have a fast lunch and get out there. All right. Do you see the urgency, my friends? It needs to be on my heart too. Yes, we're in the world today. And he's put us here, and we've got a mission on our hearts. And we need to be listening to what Christ says, not delaying. Now, I don't know who the Lord is going to bring across your road as you walk from this place. Or even while you're in the back here, the Lord might bring someone before you. Use the opportunities. Speak the Gospels. Point to Jesus Christ and see people saved one day. You just do the work now. As Whanganui East Baptist, we want to be known as a church who are proactive in that. Proactive in the gospel. Those who are ready with the message and can get around people. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, save us from thinking tomorrow. Help us with today. Open our eyes. Lift our eyes to see the harvest. Lift our eyes to see people. Take our eyes away from our own issues and needs and problems. May we see an eternity of people who didn't hear the gospel and who went to be in hell forever. Save us from the non-urgent. Help us to have our priorities set by your word and the gospel mandate of going into all the world and speaking about you. Lord, I pray for each person here. When we ask, Lord, how can I serve you? You will answer that prayer. May we be ready for that answer. If we need to equip ourselves, Lord, help us to put the time in and to equip ourselves with knowing the gospel message so that we can speak it to others. Because it's happened to us. Help us to verbalize it. Help us to point to Jesus Christ when the time comes. And Lord, help us to depend on your Spirit to give us the words to speak, because you are the one who saves. Use us for your kingdom in this city that you put us in.